I'd like to read this morning from Matthew chapter 11, and starting in verse 1, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they, verse 7, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the subject that I've seemed to have had on my mind of late is this person, John the Baptist, because I believe that as in all the scriptures that are written for our learning, John the Baptist and other people in the Bible, there are things that we can learn from looking at their life and their experiences here in this world. And here with John the Baptist, Jesus is healing. He's doing those things that are the signs of the Messiah that was to come. He didn't heal every blind person. He didn't heal every leper, cleanse every leper. He didn't heal every person that was lame. You know, God is sovereign in the works that he does and in his miracles or in healing, as it pleases God to do so. The scripture says in 115th Psalm, our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he pleased. And we have no business to question God, because God's understanding is infinite and our understanding is very limited. And you know, we learn some things as we go along, hopefully, but when we've learned all that we can learn, and when we've if we could completely master the Bible and have all understanding of all spirit, we wouldn't scratch the surface compared to the infinite wisdom and understanding and knowledge and power of God. And so, but Jesus was performing these signs as it pleased him to do so, as were prophesied in the book of Isaiah and other places concerning the Messiah. But John had been put in prison. John the Baptist, this man was a great preacher and stood for the truth. And he had a miraculous birth, as you remember, back there when Zechariah, his father, was serving in the temple, and the angel appeared to him, and they were well stricken in years. That means they was old folks. So they were old folks by then, and so it was somewhat of an unusual, miraculous birth. Not as the birth of Christ, the virgin birth, wasn't like that, but it was still that Elizabeth, John's mother, was past the age of having children and barren. And then the angel appeared to Zacharias, his father, in the temple and said, "Your prayers are heard." So, you know, the scripture doesn't tell us before that they've been praying, but I take it from that they've been praying for a child, even though they were well up in years. And so the Lord, through the miraculous circumstances, He granted them a child, and this child, John the Baptist. Now, if you read what is said concerning him over in the book of Luke, the angel said, "Thy prayer is heard, thou shalt have joy and gladness." This is Luke chapter 1 and verse 14. "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." John the Baptist had part in what was called the Old Testament Nazarite vow back there in Numbers chapter 6. So that's what this is referring to here, wine or strong drink. "He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." And you know, that's the job of any preacher, is to turn the Lord's people to the Lord their God. God is our God already. Preachers don't make children of God, but they can certainly turn the people of God to the Lord their God. And so here John the Baptist had this miraculous birth, and then he was 6 months older than Christ in his humanity. And so then John the Baptist was the forerunner to go before the Most High to prepare the way of the Lord. That's what we read back in Isaiah chapter 40 there. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." So John the Baptist, he wasn't just, too ordinary. He was a very special character in the Bible. And so John the Baptist, pray for me as we try to talk on this today. But John the Baptist came preaching repentance to the people of God. He came preaching repentance among the Israelites. And he was one that came, if you look at Matthew chapter 3, we'll get a little more background with this. Matthew chapter 3, "In those days," that is in the opening of the New Testament time period, "in those days John the Baptist, he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So while all the prophets had prophesied down through the days of the Old Testament, here John the Baptist was a prophet. Jesus said, yes, a prophet and more than a prophet. He had a special place because he was the a prophet of God, a preacher of God that came preparing the way of Jesus Christ. And this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness." This is Isaiah 40 back there. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." The same John had his raiment of camel's hair. So here's a man that had a camel's hair coat. Now, I've looked at those at the store, and camel's hair. But this was, I don't believe what they've got over here at the store is the same as of what John the Baptist had. I think he was rough in his clothing, rough in the way he looked. He was one that was used to the wilderness, the desert area. And he had a camel's hair coat, leathern girdle about his loins. His meat or his food was locust and wild honey. Now, I like honey all right. I'm not sure about the locust part. I don't know if any of you all are fond of locust or not for food. But here this man, he ate locusts and wild honey. I've thought a lot about that diet. And I don't know, I could just speculate today, but I probably shouldn't go into all of that. But, I just wondered about the interaction of the locusts. Sometimes I think there might be certain parasites and so forth, but maybe some of the bacteria in the honey had something to do with offsetting some of that. I don't know. But anyway, that John the Baptist had, I can talk more about that later. But John the Baptist had an unusual diet. But here's one, he was sent from God, and he had a special place preparing the way of Jesus Christ, who was the Lord from glory. Jesus Christ with God manifested in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So Jesus Christ in his humanity, but yet he was God. And John the Baptist had a special place preaching repentance of the people of God, and he did that according to the book of Malachi. Over there in the book of Malachi, and again, we've got some background here to lay from John the Baptist. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. This is Malachi chapter 3. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And then in the fourth chapter, in verse 5 of Malachi, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So this is a prophecy of sending Elijah the prophet. This is a prophecy of one that was going to come in the spirit of Elijah. This Elijah the prophet back here in Malachi that he speaks of, Jesus interprets that for us in Matthew 11, where he said in verse 14, which I read to you, if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. So John the Baptist on another occasion, they said, are you Elijah? He said, I'm not Elijah. He wasn't Elijah. But the prophet Malachi said there would be one Elijah come, and Jesus said, this is John the Baptist. We don't believe in reincarnation. It is appointed unto man once to die. You know the scripture says that in Hebrews chapter 9? So he wasn't Elijah literally, but he was one that the prophet Malachi spoke of that would come in the spirit of Elijah. He was strong in his stand for the Lord and in the things of God. And he came preaching repentance to the Israelites and pointing them to Christ. He preached Jesus Christ as the Lord. If you go to John chapter 3, and you don't have to turn to all these. I know there's several references, but if you don't turn to it, I'll just read it for you. John chapter 3 and verse 30. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. Speaking of Christ, he's from heaven. He that is the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth, but he that cometh from heaven is above all. And back in the first chapter of John, in verse 15, listen to these words. John bare witness of him, of Christ, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. Somebody said, John the Baptist didn't preach the gospel. You better check again. He preached Christ. He preached the gospel. He preached repentance and he preached the good news of Jesus Christ. And he said, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me. That's quite interesting considering the fact that John the Baptist was before Christ. He was 6 months older than Christ. But here John the Baptist said, this is the one that I spake of. He's preferred. He said, I'm not worthy to put it in my own words to loose his sandals. To stoop down and loose his sandals from his feet. He said, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. He was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. And then he confessed in verse 20, he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. So some of these people got a little bit confused in the matter as to who John the Baptist was. He said, I'm not the Christ. And then he goes on to say, I'm not Elijah. But as I've explained to you, he was one that came in the spirit of Elijah, preaching the truth and showing much zeal for the things of God. And he preached Christ as the Savior. The witness that he had of Christ, you remember what he said as Christ approached him? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He preached Christ as the meek and lowly Lamb of God that died for the sins of His people out of every nation. He didn't just die for His elect among the Jews. He died for His people out of every nation. And hence John the Baptist said, "The world, that is all kinds of men, Jews and Gentiles, God has a people in every nation." And see, John the Baptist preached Jesus Christ. He preached repentance. And you know, he preached, and then he got put in prison. I don't know if one of these days preachers that stand for the truth in this country are not very popular already. You know, there's things that that I'm not supposed to say and talk about when I'm at Ivy Tech. Teaching, you know, and all of that, because of their liberal stand on these things and their stand that's really against the Scripture. In a lot of places, it's that way in this country. I still try to get a little bit in here and there, you know, because anyway, I try when I have an opportunity to mention what a grand design that there is in nature. When you get into some of these science topics and all of that, and you can see the Creator in all of that. You can see a designer in all of those things. And you know, I try to mention in my own way some of the moral teachings and so forth of the Scripture and all of that. But mostly I try to stay on the subject that they've hired me to teach, because they didn't hire me to go there and preach. But anyway, there may be a time when people that believe the truth and will stand for the truth, like John the Baptist, may even be persecuted and locked up. There's already some of that persecution that goes on. And so John the Baptist, he told the king, he said, "You're in an adulterous situation. It shouldn't be that way." He told King Herod that. And we're talking about somebody that has a lot of power, that had a lot of power, was King Herod. There's one, of course, John the Baptist knew about one that had more power than King Herod. But he told the king it shouldn't be that way. And guess what happened? He got locked up for that. And I'm sure, you know, in thinking about this, it wasn't, Indiana prisons are bad enough. I wouldn't want to stay there. You know, I've been inside a number of Indiana prisons, and always glad to get out before nighttime and get out of there. But I'm sure the place where John the Baptist was locked up didn't have some of the amenities that even the state prisons do here. I always recall some of the prisoners talking about how their rights were violated and they were mistreated because they didn't have, their cookies weren't large enough that were served with the meals. And they said they should have, "Look at these small cookies they give us. You know, they should be, we ought to have normal size cookies and all of that." Well, they ought to have a lot worse than they get. Those that commit capital crimes, according to the Bible, ought to be executed. That's not my subject. But the Scripture says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." They're all innocent. You know, there's folks out here. Well, let me stay on the subject today. But John the Baptist, he got locked up for taking a stand. And the king put him in this prison. And John the Baptist was one that was special. The reason I've gone to the trouble to lay the background for this is because I want you to see a little bit about what happens next. Here with John the Baptist, the one that had preached, that came preaching in the wilderness, the one that baptized Jesus himself, the one that Jesus said there's not been a greater preacher than John the Baptist. But look what happened. He had his doubts. You know, when he was put in prison, I can't help but think he must have thought something like, well, why is this happening? Why am I not delivered from, why doesn't the Lord deliver me from this? The king's put me in, but why doesn't the Lord just immediately take this situation and get me out of here? Why am I having to endure these things? Because I've tried to do what's right. Can't you imagine it? But John the Baptist, the one that had seen the glory of Christ, the one that had heard the voice from heaven, and saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove upon him, the one that had assurance of this, now he says, go and ask him, or art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I believe scriptures like this are written for our learning. The Lord knows. He said, go show John again. The other account of this says, go tell John. Go show John again. And so he talks about the miracles that he'd done, these things that were a testimony that he was the Messiah. And we need to be shown again. Somebody say, well, the preacher, he preached on a certain subject, and I think he preached on that before, so he should never preach on that again. No, we need to know, we need to hear things again. We hear things again out here in the world. Is there anything out here in the world in some of those philosophies that you've only heard one time? Have you only heard one time about going for the gusto? Have you only heard one time about all of these ideas that are advanced out here? The idea of evolution, it's all one godless accident and all that. Have you not heard these things over and over and over again? We've heard the teaching of the world. We've been under the influence of this present evil world. And we've heard that over and over again. As a matter of fact, we hear some of those things so much that we began to accept those things, or we began to go along with those things, or we began to be influenced by those things. We need to be influenced by what's good and right. And Jesus knows our condition. And here, I believe he was sympathetic to the trials and the condition of John the Baptist being thrown into prison for doing the right thing. You know, the scripture says, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Do you believe that today? I believe that with all my heart. While I don't understand all the circumstances of life, but I believe with all my heart that God cares for his children. Now, we see some things in this. We see the importance of being encouraged. Because Jesus said, you go show John again. I believe the Lord was sending word to encourage John. He was sending those to encourage him. We all need to be encouraged. I want to encourage you today. I am here at Fort Wayne Church, and if I can do anything, I want to encourage you that the Lord is on His throne, that it's going to be all right, that the Lord cares for His children, and after we have suffered a while here in this world, that the Lord will deliver His children home to glory without the loss of one. I want to encourage you to believe today that regardless of the circumstances of life, salvation is all of grace. And whatever we may have to endure in this life, it's really for a brief moment, because there will be a day when so shall we ever be with the Lord. We've known many of God's people that have gone on and departed the scene of time. Brother Paul Jones, I think of him when I look at brother or Sister Virginia back there. Think of others that we've known that have passed from the scene of time, and loved ones and those that we've loved in the church. But I want to tell you that it's all right with them. They're with the Lord. As Jesus told that one on his side there, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I believe that God's people that have passed from this scene of time are in a state of bliss. And I believe that we as God's people, that ultimately we will be with the Lord. We're on the winning team. We need to be encouraged. I don't know if I'm doing any good with it, but I want to tell you that Jesus knew the importance, and we ought to realize the importance of encouragement. And you know, there's a place for that in the church. We can encourage one another. No use for to discourage one another in the church, because there's plenty of opportunity for that out here in the world. We need to encourage one another. We need to encourage one another to be faithful in God's service. Even the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? Well, I believe it's Sunday. I really believe that day there in Hebrews chapter 10 is Sunday. When he said provoke one another to love and to good works, even much more as you see the day approaching. You know, as the week goes on, correspond with brothers and sisters in the church. You know, you don't have to wait till Sunday to talk to the church folks. Members of the church, they didn't talk to one another during the week. I hope you do. But here's the thing about it. We need to encourage. We need to be encouraged, and we need to be encouraging. Helpful while we roam, as the hymn writer said. People won't treat other people like they ought to be treated. You know, he said that this is the second and greatest commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And you know, that we need to be conscious of how we treat folks with whom we come in contact out here in the world. And I know I've made my share of mistakes in that. I've shown impatience in the line at the grocery store and gotten upset with people that don't have a problem making a hamburger doing any number of things. But how much more should we consider those of the household of faith? Do good unto all men, especially those which are of the household of faith. I was looking here. I think I've put a little poem here in my Bible, if I can find it. Thought that you can give me just a second here. Maybe we can find that. Well, just a second here. I don't see it right away where I put it in my Bible, but I've got a copy of it here in my wallet. My life shall touch a dozen lives before this day is done. Leave countless marks for good or ill ere sets the evening sun. And this the wish I always wish, the prayer I ever pray. Lord, may my life help other lives it touches by the way. You think about that. I need to think about that, because that's the second and greatest commandment. The first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. The second is like unto it. You know, sometimes families out here will get in a fight or something, or something will be said, or one family member doesn't think the other one treated one right, and all of that. And first thing you know, families are broken up or alienated one from another, and all such things of that. Don't you get, you know, sometimes I grow weary of seeing that, because really it's the importance. What is the important thing in this world? It's to serve the Lord thy God and to love one another and to be encouraging one to another. And I say that we all need to encourage, especially in the church and in our families. Be good. Be kind to one another. Don't you know that's what the Bible teaches? Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. So we need to be encouraged and we need to be reminded. Jesus said, you go show John again. I need to be reminded. Now Piper helps me with that. Don't you? Sure she does. She's always reminding me. Now you remember you preached that. Or she's reminding me of what, you know. And I'll tell you what, I'm reminding her too. Now sometimes I'm not always as nice as I should be reminding her. And that sometimes happens with husbands and wives and that sort of thing. I believe it does. At least it's happened with us. But the point is, we all need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of what good things the Lord has done. We need to be reminded of the love of God, the power of God, and what God has done for us, and how that we're blessed. You know, we may be at times like those prisoners in the prison. You know, we may be griping about our lot in life, or that the cookies aren't big enough, so to speak, and all of that. But we ought to count our many blessings and see what God hath done. You know, I believe all of us here are greatly blessed to the Lord. Do you think so today? I believe we're all blessed to the Lord. We're blessed to the Lord to know the great truth of salvation by grace. We're blessed to the Lord in our lives and so forth. In many ways, the Lord has blessed us. But we need to be reminded. That's important. And it's important that the preacher remind the people of God. We need to be reminded of what's important in this world and what's not. You know, a lot of times we emphasize the things that are really not that important. And we get all upset about those things that really don't matter that much. Go show John again. I love to read this. Not that I rejoice that John the Baptist was persecuted and put in prison and all of that, but this is left on record. And it's been an encouragement to me to read that, because to know that Jesus cares, and that, you know, John, in this low time of his experience, the Lord said, the Lord didn't criticize him, but he turned to those around about and said, there's not been a greater born than John the Baptist. What went you out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What's that mean? Well, a reed shaken with the wind is like those cattails or whatever, blowing in the wind. And John the Baptist, he wasn't unstable like that. In other words, he went out preaching the truth and preaching it without fail. He preached that which the Lord gave him to preach. And he stood for the truth. He said, a prophet, yea, more than a prophet. There's not been one born greater than John the Baptist. Go show John again. And I believe the Lord has that same care for us when we have those times of discouragement and doubt, and when things just don't seem to be going well. And you know, that's the next thing about this. Why look at circumstances? John the Baptist, he got down in that low place. Why? Because he was looking at the circumstances. I'm not saying that all things are alike good. I'm not saying that there's some terrible things that happen in this world. And God doesn't cause evil in this world. He suffers it to be. But what I want to tell you today is that we can look beyond circumstances. We can look beyond circumstances. That's what we need to do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Proverbs 3:5-6, and he shall direct thy paths. Lean not unto thine own understanding. When we look just at circumstances and say, why? God, why do you allow this to happen to me? Why is this happening? Why'd you do this to me? That's the wrong way to look at things. We may find ourselves in circumstances, but we need, and I'm preaching to myself today, and you know I'm preaching to me too. We all need to look beyond circumstances. Yes, we can work for a better day. We can push ahead. We can press on. But we've got to look beyond circumstances, and that's what Jesus is teaching us here in the experience of John. Go show John again. John, it's not, don't worry about those circumstances you're in, John, because I've got the victory. He's still on the throne. Just as those individuals threw down the palm branches, as Christ made a triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem the week of His crucifixion. And they cried out, Hosanna, Lord, save us. And He did. He saved His people from their sin right there on the cross. But He came riding in there in accordance with the prophet Zechariah. And so Jesus made that triumphal entry. And He said, you know, they said, keep these people quiet. I'm putting it in my own words. He said, if these should hold their peace, the very stones could cry out. So what I'm trying to say is that Hosanna, Lord say, He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords today, right here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We shouldn't just look at circumstances, but we should look beyond that and see that regardless of what happens in this world, God's still on the throne. You believe in God today? The God that has all power? He had the power to speak the worlds into existence. What a grand design! Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And I want to tell you that not only the design of this world, but He upholds all things by the word of His power. If it were not for the very power of God, this whole universe would just collapse. He upholds all things by the word of His power. I don't care if on the Weather Channel, if they're talking about the universe of being billions of years old and how it's just one big accident thrown out there and all of that. And by the way, the global warming and all, everything's about to come to an end and all of that. We're going to destroy the world, they say, and it's all Trump's fault. And, you know, you've heard these people say those kind of silly things. But anyway, I'm not being political. I'm just saying that God is still on the throne. He is still on the throne. And there's going to be global warming when God is ready for it. In other words, He's going to burn the world up one of these days. And we won't have to worry about that matter, because we'll be caught up to meet the Lord, and so shall you ever be with the Lord. So circumstances can sometimes cause us real difficulty in our minds, in our thinking. And something else in this is the importance of the truth of the matter. Yes, it matters. Go show John again. It matters. That Jesus wanted John to believe the truth. He wanted John to see the Lord in His glory. He wanted him to know that he was the Messiah. He was the promised one. The one that was prophesied, the hope of all ages is come. He wanted John to know that. And that's the truth of the matter. It makes a difference whether you believe the truth or not. It makes a difference. That's the reason I preach that people believe in salvation by grace. Because it makes a difference whether you believe the truth. I don't want you to believe in salvation by works. It makes a difference if we believe the truth. But He says, show John again. Tell John of those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. So Jesus is saying, you tell John again, I've got the victory. He demonstrated His power and His victory over sin, over the curse of sin, in that there were select individuals and some He raised from the dead. like Jairus' daughter and Lazarus. He didn't raise everybody in the cemetery back there. Now he will one of these days, but he showed his power in that. That the people of God might know that he was the promised one, the Messiah that was to come into this world. He showed that he has victory. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. What is the gospel? Christ has the victory over the penalty of sin. He defeated sin at the cross on behalf of everyone for whom he died. I hope we don't get tired of hearing that message. The good news that Christ paid for the sins of his people and he won the victory there at the cross. That's the grand truth of the gospel today. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but the Lord, he secured, he bought our salvation there at the cross. He has defeated sin. And thanks be to God, the writer said in one place, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has power over the struggles of life. God may not remove every trial of life. Certainly, we're in a world that's under the curse of sin. Do you know that? This world is under the curse of sin. Don't blame God for the sin and all that's in the world. That's because of man. By one man, sin entered the world. All the sickness and problems out here, that's not God. He didn't cause that. He suffers that to be. But he has power over the struggles of life to help you as his little child here in this world. God has grace that's sufficient. As Paul besought the Lord three times, sure, it's good to cast your cares on him, to ask God to deliver you from the trials of life, but if it doesn't please God to do so, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And you know, if you feel like that you have trials of life, or if one day you encounter various trials of life, and the Lord's grace is sufficient to help you through those times. And you know, I've known many of God's people that have suffered various trials, sickness, just one problem after another. But you know what? I believe that God's grace has helped them, and they've been an encouragement and testimony to me in their trials. Have you known people like that? If that's not your case, have you known people like that? There have been people of God that have endured many hardships in this world, many trials in life, but yet they've been a testimony to the grace of God. So when you're going through trials and God says, and you pray to God and say, remove that from me, and you pray and pray and nothing seems to happen, his grace is sufficient for you. Perhaps God would like to use you in that trial to encourage someone else and to show someone else the greatness of his grace. We never know. But God's grace is sufficient. May we remember that each day that we live here in this life. God's grace is sufficient for our trials. And just as he raised the dead in that day, go show John again. So I'm telling you again this morning that God's power in the resurrection will be seen. Why should it be an incredible thing, the Apostle Paul said? Why should you think it an incredible thing that God should raise the dead? You know, I got my DNA kit. I'm going to put the saliva in there and send that off. See all about that. You know, but anyway, you know, God, the DNA, that's special. And each one of us, we're unique in that way. And you know, that DNA is the pattern by which each one of us exists. And even though there are individual atoms that go and come in our body, but yet that DNA is special to us. And, you know, somebody say, well, The atoms have gotten all mixed up. You know, people have died and certain atoms in their body have gone here and other. No, the DNA, that pattern is still there. God's going to put that all back together again. It may be one atom, it may be another atom, but it'll be you. And what little bit I know about biochemistry and genetics and all, what little I know about that, I've just scratched the surface on that. But I'd like to know more. It's just not time to know, you know. But what little I know about that, I'm just fascinated at the design that's in there. The design of God and how that works. In every cell of your body, it's fascinating to know we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But the same God that has done all of that, dear friends, here at Fort Wayne Church, I tell you, that same God, it's not incredible that the one that made all of that from nothing and shows His infinite wisdom, and the deeper we look into it, the more we see design in God, that same God will have no problem in raising the dead. Go show John again. Well, John the Baptist, that wasn't the end of his trouble. Well, it was in a way, because he was delivered from the king. He was beheaded. When the king threw a birthday party, do you remember that? The king threw the birthday party, and his daughter of this adulterous woman that he was with, she danced there and entertaining, and he promised to give her whatever to the half of his kingdom, and then he kind of felt bad about it after she made her request, but he went ahead and did what she asked. But she went to her mother and said, well, you know, I can have anything to the half of your kingdom. And she said, what, the head of John the Baptist on a platter? Isn't that awful? I'm sure he was a good, I know he was a good man. Prophet, yes, and more than a prophet. Not a risen one greater than John the Baptist. You know, the wickedness of this world, the extent to which men fall in their wickedness. But anyway, so the king had him beheaded. I wonder what went through his mind as that was about to happen. What would you have thought? Well, you know, if you suddenly found yourself, you tried to do the right thing and you got in trouble for it, and then they took you and they were going to cut your head off. What would you think about that? I just wonder what John the Baptist, you know, what he thought. Of course, maybe the words of Christ helped him in that time. Maybe when he went back and said, go show John again. Maybe then that renewed his strength. And even when they took him to cut off his head, maybe he was trusting in the Lord. Maybe he'd gotten through that period of doubt. I don't know. I don't know how I'd be. I know sometimes I gripe over very little and complain and get discouraged over very little. Go show John again. A lot of lessons in this. John the Baptist. Been on my mind lately thinking about this. But you go show John again, he said. His grace, his concern, his power, his victory. And so may you be encouraged today from these lessons from the Scripture concerning John the Baptist. Great preacher. His name was John. He was a Baptist, just like you are. His name was John. His name wasn't John the Baptist. His name was John. All right? But he was called the Baptist because he prepared the material for that first New Testament church. He baptized the first members of that first church. Baptized Christ and the apostles themselves. That's the reason when they were going to select somebody to replace the Judas. Then they said it would be, they needed to replace one as an apostle that accompanied with them since the baptism of John. So John had a special place. He was sent from heaven and he baptized the material for that first gospel church, John the Baptist. And the Baptist people have continued baptizing believers down through the ages. This was given to the church. It came from John to the apostles and into the church, where he said, "Unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end." So this man, John, was greatly blessed of the Lord, but he got into place there where he was real discouraged and down. And Jesus cares, and he said, "Go show John again." May the Lord bless you.